Welcome back, friends. For today and the next few episodes, Sarah and I will have the pleasure of taking up practical meditations for every day of the year. It's a reprint of a classic. In the past, so why Sarah and I chose this, in our past, somewhat recent episodes, we've covered The Art of Dying, Ignatian Spiritual Discernment, Get Married by Brad Wilcox, Prepare for Eternal Life, Practical Suggestions for how Catholics should go about that, and True Devotion to Mary. And a common theme throughout each of those episodes is the idea of living a holy life in our everyday circumstances. Practical meditations for every day of the year is a wonderful, wonderful aid for doing just that, for living a life rooted in God in the practical moments, coming straight out of the life and the life of our Blessed Lord, Our Lady, and very, very scripturally focused. It was reprinted by Angelus Press in 2022, and its original date was 1868 in France.
So, probably very beautiful prayers.
They are. They really are. So the historical context, and so whenever I need to have a little refresh on what's going on in the church and the history. And we've pointed this work out before, and we'll continue to point it out again in the future. It's always a good reminder. Is EPIC a journey through church history? And the money, where the money quote is, or the value for the thing, is this little pulled out flyer. And within this flyer, it gives a quick thumbnail of the time period. He's divided it much like the Great Adventure series that Jeff Cavan does. Who the popes are, timeline, who the world rulers are, historical figures, and that's where we're about to get into, and the events and influence, culture and politics. And my friends, that is always a factor. And anyone who wants to think, well, they're not going to get involved with politics and this, that, and the other thing, them being alive makes them involved with politics. So that's what I did here. And the text that this is from is Alan Schreck, a professor, or he was a professor at Steubenville. That's the some of the scholarship that's under this book. And I did not need to go to Warren Carroll this time. But of course, but one cannot go wrong having his volumes on the shelf to help in this orientation of what's going on. So this is 1868, not too far removed from us. The time frame for that Weidenkopf and Schrecker will call this is revolutions and modernism. And for those of us who recall our show with St. Pius on modernism, and of course I've done quite a bit of work independently on modern philosophy and that sort of thing, this is going to start to sound very familiar. In the secular world, we have the enlightened philosophy from Descartes. Yes, it was presented in 1641, but it has now flowered into the Kant critique of pure reason. And a quick and dirty summary of Kant is that we really can't know anything. And what little we do know is small, very small. So we have Kant, and he is very much of the day. In his work was 1781. So now, see, that's about a little less than 100 years. And that's when you're going to start to see some of these, you know, the good ideas take root, but also the very bad and concerning ideas. We have Darwinism in 1859. That's very much in the air, not necessarily the science, but the theology, if you will, of Darwin. Karl Marx rejects the church in 1867. Remember, the 1800s come in really strong with the church, and they leave really bitter. And then there's the Battle of Waterloo, since we're looking in France, of Napoleon in 1815. The ecclesial landscape is that. So the author is an anonymous Jesuit. So 50 years prior to this release, the Jesuits had been suppressed by the order of Pope Pius the VII in 1814. So about 50 years or so. And of course, that was a lot of political intrigue and that sort of thing. And you can certainly search our past shows on that. The Immaculate Conception was in 1854. Lourdes was in 18. That was the dogma promoted, and Lourdes apparition was in 1858, and then the syllabus of errors, which we leaned into heavily with modernism and Pius the X, is released in 1864. And just as we gave a thumbnail of Kant, we're going to be bold enough to get a thumbnail of modernism and say it's the synthesis of all heresies. That was what Pius will take up.
Yeah, I mean, it's the world at that point is just finally the terrible seeds that had been planted during the revolutionary period in France, particularly. And as a result of that, throughout a lot of Europe is really starting to bear some very, very noxious fruit. But we also know that any time that the church suffers under that type of an attack, that holy people somehow break through, right? I mean, the landscape is not so desperate that there is not something good that is going to come from that. Because actually, you know, the dates that you're now telling me in France at the same time, right around 1858, is going to be the creation of that organization that I'm part of, the Confraternity of Christian Mothers, right? So it's also at the same time frame where, you know, the women in the church are beginning to have grave concerns for their husband and their children. And
Sarah,
so there's meditation. Mm-hmm.
Forgive this interruption. I want you to, we're right at the top of the hour, and I really would like for you to just really educate each and every one of us on this confraternity and all of that. And I just want you to have a full shot at it. All right, my friends.
That's your sampler platter. Come back if you want more.
That will be beautiful. All right, my friends. We will see you in the next episode. And you really don't want to miss this introduction to this beautiful organization. Till then, my friends. Fides et Rogia.